is up? Happy Friday. Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd. It's my co-host, Thomas Drantz. Drantz covers the team for The Athletic as well. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio, Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, working together with you in step 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. Drantz, how's it going, man?
Going well, buddy.
Okay. A subdued greeting today.
It's like in The Fifth Element when he wins the radio contest, you know, and Chris Tucker's yes. like, and then he hands him the mic. He's like, fine.
Yeah. And Chris Tucker's as over the top as it's possible to be. Yeah. He's great movie.
Full on like Hunger Games vibes, right?
Yes.
It's like really like
very good.
Like,
yes.
yeah. Sorry, Chris Tucker and who is it?
Bruce Willis.
No. Stanley Tucci.
Oh, yeah.
Would be like, what I really want is a movie where they do a show together. That
would be good.
It would be sick.
One day.
We need the Fifth Element Hunger Games media crossover podcast. That's like the fan service I'm looking for.
Well, everyone has very specific niche interests.
Specific kinks.
Yeah. And that's yours, buddy. As I mentioned, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Lots coming up on the show today. Really looking forward to this. Abbotsford Canucks GM Ryan Johnson will join us at 12:30. And the
with an unusual amount to unpack.
Yeah, the Abbotsford Canucks continue to be really front and center with the Vancouver Canucks season in an unusual way.
The Abbotsford Canucks have completely blended.
over
the Vancouver Canucks to the point where one has become the other.
Yes.
Right? This is a metamorphosis.
And we'll talk more about that in the lineup notes and the section of the whiteboard, but it became even more true today than it had already been this week. So we'll talk to Ryan Johnson at 12:30, and of course Dimitri joins us at 1:30 to wrap up the week. It's a Canucks game day. They're taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. So let's go right to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, March 28th. The headline is the Canucks play another desperation game against the Columbus Blue Jackets, both teams fighting to stay in the playoff race. And it was another not particularly helpful day on the out-of-town scoreboard for the Canucks. We'll dive more into what the standings look like. And
It was mixed,
but the team that you're actually chasing winning is less, you know, like it's great that Calgary lost, but Calgary can lose all the remaining games and it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No.
I mean, it removes one theoretical obstacle, but really you're chasing St. Louis.
Well, and doesn't remove it. I mean, the Canucks are still tied with the Flames by point percentage, right? So they're still lingering, but man, what a tough break. The Calgary Flames had 107 shot attempts and got Casey DeSmith last night. They were far and away the better team than the Dallas Stars. To have had as hardworking a season as they've had, and for it to sort of come to a probable conclusion, like a realistic conclusion in that manner, obviously there's still a chance of a miracle here, but that was a tough 2 points for them to lose, given that the Blues don't know how to. Honestly, especially because the Blues were terrible yesterday. The Blues played like a team with absolutely zero legs, zero juice. They couldn't even get out of their own end of the rink for large sections of the third period. I haven't checked the like play-by-play, the NHL official play-by-play, but I was watching and I swear they may have iced the puck 12 times in the first 12 minutes of the third period and then scored on back-to-back shifts to take the regulation win, despite Marchessault appearing to tie it up late, but time had expired. I mean, look, you need to have all sorts of wins if you're going, like, wins of all varieties if you're going to win 8 in a row, especially at this point in the NHL season. And obviously the Blues have been able to feast against Nashville and Chicago, right? I mean, this has been, but they have eaten. They have not slipped this stretch.
Right? Like, you can complain about the soft schedule all you want, but you still have to take care of those teams. And, like, Vancouver's lost twice to Nashville this year, right? And the Blues avoided that fate.
Yep. So slip.
They did what they needed to do against those teams. Now, they do play Colorado on Saturday, but even after that, then they have...
Well, they play Colorado again.
They do, but the next week they have also Detroit and Pittsburgh at home. So...
Yeah, Detroit's decent.
Detroit's floundering, I would say, right now.
Well, look, the Canucks have the fourth...
And then Pittsburgh is as well, so...
The Canucks have the fourth most difficult remaining schedule in the NHL. And the Blues, who for a long time prior to this stretch, now have there's only a few teams in the West that have a more difficult. They're a top 10 in the NHL in terms of their path the way out, because they do have the Jets, they do have the Avalanche twice, they do have the Oilers, but they also have Detroit and Pittsburgh and Seattle and Utah.
Yeah, they wrap up with Seattle on the road and then Utah at home, and Utah,
shed a single tear.
By the way.
Shed a single tear.
it's officially wrapped.
Yeah, it's
curtains. For Utah. And so that game probably won't mean anything for Utah, so that's a pretty favorable one for St. Louis to end on.
Vejmelka made his 16th start in 32 days.
Incredible.
And it looked like it. And that's a good lesson. Like, at the end of the day, even when they lost Connor Ingram, they did have backup goaltenders. They weren't disciplined enough about using them. You know what I mean? Like, you're better off taking your chances a couple times with a backup to keep your starter fresh, because otherwise what happens to you is what's happened to Utah across the last week, where they've been massively outscored and they haven't even played that badly. You know, like, that's because that's what's really happening to this Utah hockey club. Their goaltending has fallen through the ground as a result of overuse. And that's a really crummy way for you to run out of gas.
All right. So tonight it is the Canucks versus the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Blue Jackets are still very much right there in the mix in the Eastern Conference, despite a 2-7-1 record in their last 10 games. They are coming off a win, and no one has really been able to separate themselves in the race for that final wild card spot. Yeah. Ottawa has separated for the first wild card spot, but you know, Montreal
and have
like
the easiest remaining schedule. Yeah. Like, Ottawa is very likely to make it.
Ottawa's done.
Yeah.
Like, that, they're not even in the conversation.
The real drama is, do we get Battle of Ontario?
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's two things I love about the Battle of Ontario. One, Canadian content at 4 p.m. in April. Love that.
Sure.
Two, Ottawa always wins. Always.
This Leafs team, who's been in a perennial playoff team and playoff loser for so long, losing to the upstart Ottawa Senators in round one.
In what might be this core's last go-around.
The last dance.
This is how it was
driving
written.
Mitch Marner out of town.
This is how it was written. Like,
that
this
would be
is
incredible content.
This is coming, if we're lucky. Just need
fingers crossed.
Just need Utah to take care of business today against the Panthers.
That's right.
Let's go.
Oh boy. Coming off an 8-0 loss in which they played both of their goalies last night. Dang it. But anyways, Columbus is 2 points back of Montreal and they have a game in hand. So if they win this, I think they'll basically just be in a straight dead heat with Montreal, because if they win in regulation, they'd have the same number of regulation wins as well. So they are still very, very much alive and in this race. And, you know, Rick Tocchet has emphasized it a few times, like, they're going into desperate buildings on this trip. I think the Canucks so far have been able to, at a bare minimum, match or more often exceed the desperation of the teams they've been playing. And they've got to do it, find a way to do it again tonight.
Yeah, so the problem with Columbus, do you remember the Canucks win over Columbus earlier? They had the big comeback from 2-0 down, but it was Columbus playing the second leg of a back-to-back in Vancouver. Do you remember, though, what the first 30 minutes of that game looked like?
It was atrocious.
It could have been 6-0.
Yes.
And one thing about this Columbus team is, between Marchenko and Kent Johnson and Fantilli and big Voronkov and on down the list, Boone Jenner, these guys have speed to burn. They have speed from the back end. Denton Mateychuk, Zach Werenski. They can fly. Flat out fly. And the Canucks can struggle against those teams. Now, when Vancouver hosted them here, they held on. Columbus was a little bit wasteful with their chances. And then the Canucks piled it on against an immature team that had lost their legs in the second half of a back-to-back. Their maturity as a club, right? Their sort of cynical know-how trumped Columbus's skill and speed in that first game. But now, you know, Columbus has been resting. Like, they are the rested team tonight, not the Canucks. Canucks have had a pretty condensed schedule here. A lot of emotional games. So does that balance sheet, like, can the Canucks use their sort of guile, their tactical noose, to outlast a Columbus team that, let's be real, outmatches them in terms of juice, especially with the lineup that the Canucks are likely to have tonight?
And I should note also, going into the weekend, because the Canucks wrap up the road trip in Winnipeg with a nooner on Sunday, and then, of course, St. Louis plays Colorado tomorrow night. So this race has pretty much been in stasis, I would say, since like the Canucks played St. Louis. Probably it's fair to say, or at least since the
since they lost to New York.
Yeah.
Both teams have, like, they lost to New York. St. Louis won their back-to-backs against Chicago and Nashville.
Nashville.
Who else?
I know.
82 games, St. Louis versus Nashville. But since that, like, since Monday anyway, both teams have just kept winning.
Yeah, so and this week has been just stasis, basically.
Except that
every time...
You're running
out the clock.
Exactly. Yeah. Every time St. Louis wins, they run out the clock. But the Canucks have avoided the slip where it's like they're seven... You're 7 points back at this point. Like, it's why I don't take the Minnesota thing or the Edmonton thing very seriously, although fans are starting to talk about it, I think, in jest, partly. But 7 points back with 10 games remaining, like, that's not realistic. That's not a realistic gap here. Five with two games in hand, right, remains worth watching, provided you don't slip first, right?
Yeah.
Because the Canucks are, you lose one or both of these games this weekend, because let's be real, Winnipeg and Columbus are both dangerous opponents. Even if St. Louis loses to Colorado, like, enough time is run off that you're going to be in real trouble, right?
Yeah. My point is basically that I think we will not be coming in on Monday and saying that the race has been static for a week. You know what I mean? I think we will see some movement in some direction, whether it's, hey, if the Canucks win both games and St. Louis slips up against Colorado, that dramatically reshapes the race. If St. Louis beats Colorado and the Canucks only pick up a point or two in these games, you know what I mean? Like, I think we're going to have a much clearer picture of what the race is going to look like come Monday, because there really hasn't been that many new developments through this week, since the Rangers game.
Three, I think, is like, this is a time of year where you have to be greedy. You know what I mean? 3 points. Canucks need to get 3 points out of these two games this weekend.
Yes.
Three at minimum.
And I think that's got to start with two tonight, because I think I've mentioned it on the show. I look at that game against Winnipeg on Sunday. That's one of the hardest games of the season for me, for the Canucks.
Yep.
When you consider
the trip,
end of a road trip, early start. You just put up 6 goals against the Winnipeg Jets very recently. That's going to be fresh in their mind. They're a really, really good team. I feel like Winnipeg is always a bit of a house of horrors for the Canucks, or has been in recent years. So that game is going to be really, really tough. Not saying it's unwinnable or anything like that, but it's a tough one. You got to start with 2 points tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Broadsheet, nothing really to note here. I mean, you touched on a lot of things about what you're hearing about Rick Tocchet, what you're hearing about Tom Volander. Yesterday on the show, and some of that and some other stuff included in a piece by you up at The Athletic right now. You know, Rick Dhaliwal, a lot of the same things reported that he's reporting mentioned on Halford and Brough this morning. I will note, not really a broadsheet item per se, but because it's something we were following yesterday on the show. Of course, Tom Volander's Boston University team beat Ohio State in the first round.
Cornell!
Of the NCAA tournament. And then Cornell, heard it here first.
The Cornell old boys, don't write off the Cornell old boys. Yeah, because you were like, they'll probably be playing Michigan State, the second seed. And I was just like,
well, they're the second seed.
And I was like, Cornell's a million years old. And then we looked at their DOBs.
Shout out Big Red.
Hey,
somebody texted in yesterday that Cornell is famous for their ornithology program, the study of birds.
Well, I know what ornithology is.
I don't know. You had a blank look on your face.
I was like,
I figured Drance would know this.
We're really talking ornithology?
Because I'll talk ornithology.
Yeah.
So that look was excitement, not blank.
No, I was just like, that's the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
That's a high bar to clear here. So anyways, Cornell upset.
I thought you were going to bring up, like, you know, Cornell University, like, churning out Joe Neuendijk.
No, but good
Ken
for
Ken Dryden?
Ken Dryden, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Good for him.
As I recall, my guy Jacob McDonald, Braden Birch.
Okay, that's great. Upset Michigan State. Game-winning goal with about 10 seconds left in the third period. So it'll be Boston University and Tom Volander and Aiden Celebrini, we should mention, versus Cornell tomorrow,
and we get
for a chance to extend their tournament.
And we get to see which guys turn pro. Isaac Howard to the Lightning. That would be exciting. I'd be excited about that one. Gabe Perreault to the New York Rangers. That could happen here. I'd be excited about that one. Tom Volander, obviously, that would be very exciting, although reiterating what I reported yesterday, as I did at The Athletic today, that, like, realistically, the Canucks want him to go to the American League. Always this stuff is subject to conversation and negotiation. But for a variety of common sense reasons, I think it does make sense. And I do think the club is confident that once Volander's BU season ends, that's exactly the route this will take. We won't ask Ryan Johnson about it, though.
No.
Wouldn't be fair.
No, that would be inappropriate. So we won't do that.
We're not going to put our guy on the spot.
No, we would never do something like that. Lineup notes, as I alluded to earlier in the show, Max Sasson recalled under emergency conditions. Dan Murphy from Sportsnet is on the ground in Columbus. Murph says the flu continues to be an issue with the team. Rick Dhaliwal on Twitter suggesting that Teddy Bluger could miss tonight's game with the flu. And of course, you're calling up a center. Not that hard to connect the dots there. So there's a very good chance we are looking down the middle for the Canucks tonight in a basically must-win game against the Columbus Blue Jackets at Pius Suter, Atu Ratu, Nils Amon, Max Sasson down the middle. And again, there's been plenty of games in the AHL where the Abbotsford Canucks have been lining up with like Ratu, Amon, Sasson down the middle.
Yeah.
So this is very much an Abbotsford Canucks plus Pius Suter spine of the team going into Columbus.
Plus Pius Suter is a big, big deal.
Sure.
I'm going to be honest with you. There is an element to which I think Max Sasson coming into the Canucks lineup against a Blue Jackets team whose greatest edge against the Canucks is speed might not be the disaster it looks like on paper.
Maybe not the worst thing in the world to get an injection of speed in.
I mean, losing Teddy Bluger on the PK is brutal. He's been an absolute menace in that spot, especially in combination with Pius Suter and Derek Forbert, plus one of Myers and Hronek, right? Like, that unit has just been eating for the Canucks across the last 6 weeks. Columbus can definitely do damage with the man advantage, so that's sort of where the value is lost. Bluger came up big against the Islanders, obviously, but, you know, and Max Sasson, I think, despite some of the early season like hype, I think is it sort of obviously better used down lineup, don't get me wrong, but I do think just from a stylistic standpoint, you know, Ratu, Pius Suter, Teddy Bluger, especially because Nils Amon's got wheels, right? Yeah. Like that's a problem in that none of those guys are plus skaters against a Blue Jackets team that can flat out fly, right? Sasson, Amon, at least the pace that Columbus has is less of an edge with those guys in your lineup tonight.
Yeah. And it to me, I'm just going to be really interested to see how Tocchet juggles the minutes and who, like, somebody, you can't can't shelter three centers simultaneously. You know what I mean? It's hard to shelter two.
I mean, they've been doing it.
It's hard to shelter two.
They've been doing it anyway. Pius Suter gets tough.
So somebody is going to have to play minutes against a talented forwards here, right? Like, because you're splitting up you got Adam Fantilli and Kent Johnson on one line. You got Voronkov and Marchenko on another line. So those are two dangerous duos.
No kidding.
That can do damage.
Yeah.
Somebody from the AHL crew is going to have to step in and play minutes against those guys on the road. And you're saying Atu Ratu. I liked what I've seen from Atu Ratu.
Has to play second line. Like,
it's going to be a very interesting decision and a balancing act for Tocchet.
Atu Ratu probably should be playing second line with Bluger in the lineup or not. But sometimes you need an opportunity to dislodge a guy, you know? And this is that opportunity. Like, Ratu has to seize it, right? Can you hold your own? You don't have to win your matchup, but can you hold your own 5-on-5 in second line deployment tonight? Like, that's a big opportunity, a big window into where Ratu's game is at. That's a fun challenge. Like, that's something, you know, I'm sure he welcomes as a competitor, but also something, you know, in terms of an evaluative opportunity that the organization should be excited to see.
That's one of the things I want to get into with Ryan Johnson here, is it's not just like, these guys are coming up in December when there's a huge injury crunch or, you know, the season is lost and now they're getting time. This is a massive game. These are massive, massive games for the Canucks. And these guys are being asked to, again, not just come in and play 8 minutes. Like Atu Ratu, Nils Amon, these guys are going to have massive roles tonight in this game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And that's, as you said, a pretty great chance for the organization to evaluate what they have there. Also, per Murph, who's on the ground, and I think there was an optional skate for the Canucks this morning in Columbus, says Kevin Lankinen likely to start after two starts in a row for Thatcher Demko. So it looks like Kevin Lankinen will be back
in the crease for the Canucks in Columbus. Canucks playoff odds dip down to 29% thanks to St. Louis winning last night. So not a big difference, really. I think they were at 33% going into the games last night. The Blues win, but Calgary lose. Dips it to 29%. The Blues are at 61% chance to make the playoffs per Dom's model. The Flames down to 14%. And your Utah Hockey Club, it's cooked. A 1% chance to make the playoffs per Dom's model. And what that looks like in the standings, Canucks with 80 points still in 72 games. They are five back of St. Louis, who have 85. St. Louis has played 74, so the Canucks have two games in hand, and it's basically a dead heat between the Canucks and the Flames. Flames have 79 points in 71 games, so both them and the Canucks have a 5.56 winning percentage. And if you were holding out hope that the Minnesota Wild would just spiral into disaster and fallout, they won last night, so the Canucks remain 7 points back with just the one game in hand against the Wild. Gambling update for us, Strancer.
The Vancouver Canucks are now at +300. To make the playoffs, by the way, +300.
What implied, like
25%?
Yeah.
So 25% playoff probability. We know where that will go. It'll go closer to 1 to 10 if they lose, and it'll go closer to 1 to 3 if they win tonight, right? Like, that's the dynamic that's been locked in. They are underdogs against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They have been underdogs for every game this road trip, so need to keep defying the expectations of the odds makers. +120, Blue Jackets -140 favorites. That's a 45% implied probability of victory for the Canucks tonight. Gotta get it done again.
Gotta get it done tonight against the Blue Jackets. That's the whiteboard for today. We'll take a break. Ryan Johnson, Abbotsford Canucks GM, joins us on the other side here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.